Lesson. This is an interesting lesson to be at this time of day, or this time of year, and being Resurrection Sunday. And if I haven't said Happy Resurrection Day to you, I say it now, and we'll say it again on our Resurrection Day. Whether that be at the rapture or when, if we pass away and we get resurrected from the dead, it'll be when we get resurrected. But the Lord rose from the dead. As we remember this time of year, and certainly it's within days of being accurate. You know, they always move Easter based on Israel's Passover, but there was a particular date that Christ actually died and rose again, and we pick the Sunday and not necessarily the date of that, but either way, I'm glad that the world is recognizing it, because that is certainly the validating point of who Jesus Christ is by his own admission and by the sign that he gave them, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But take your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 24, and remember, I don't know if you still got a place marked there where you also need 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And both of these accounts are about David who numbered the people, and we're comparing them, and as I said last time, is the significance of this event is more significant than some of the details I'm pointing out. But in order to concentrate on the significance of the point, I wanted to clear up some things that catch your attention. And so if when you compare the two passages, the very first verse tells you that, hey, this is interesting, they're written from two different points of view. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1, it says, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah." And the Lord had a reason to be angry with Israel, and what David going out to number the people is going to result in a judgment that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. Not just for David numbering the people, but it starts out that the Lord was angry. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and then the event takes place. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, it starts out, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." And you put that together and you realize that Satan himself is just a pawn in the hands of God, that God allows Satan to do things and prevents Satan from doing the others. And I even think a lot about in the age of grace, that what God is doing in the body of Christ, it says, "He that hinders will hinder until he be taken away, and then shall that wicked be revealed." And that is when God is work in the body of Christ is over and the rapture takes place, then Satan will be free to go into this world and finally make the world bow down and worship him as God. But he can't do that right now because he's being hindered by what God is doing. So God controls Satan, but at this point, God actually just allows Satan to come and tempt David, and David's heart is lifted up in pride. He numbers the people, which he then later realizes is a sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 9, here's where we were last week. It says, "And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and of the men of Judah were 500,000 men." So we put that up on our board last week, that in 2 Samuel 24:9, there's 800,000 in Israel, 500,000 in Judah, so that's a total of 1,300,000 people, which if you go back to the days of Numbers, they were only 600,000. So the Lord is really multiplying Israel there. And when we looked at it a little closer, two things we said is it's real clear that there's a great deal of rounding off here, as well as that the people that are being numbered, valiant men, we're actually talking about men who are able to go to war. And so it's really not the total number in Israel. The number is much higher than that. Come over to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And then in verse 5, it says, "And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all that were of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword, and Judah was 410,000 men that drew the sword. But Levi and Benjamin, those two tribes, counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. So when you come to Chronicles, you had a different number. You have 1,000 is a million, and then 100,000, so it's 1,100,000 in Israel, and then in Judah was 400, what does it say? Anyhow, it ends up 470,000 in Judah. You add those together, you got 1,570,000. I put the difference over here this week to show you the difference in the top line. There's 300,000 more in Israel in Chronicles than in Samuel. And then the opposite in Samuel, you got 500,000, you got 30,000 difference. There's 30,000 more in Samuel than in Chronicles. And so we were talking about that last week, and we looked and saw that in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verses 1 through 15, if you're there, you can just look at it kind of quickly here, just in case you weren't here last week. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, it goes back over this numbering in different, in explanation of some things. But it starts out in this chapter about talking about, now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit the chief of the fathers and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and of their officers that served the king in any manner of course, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year. How many months in a year? 12. Of every course were 24,000. And then if you just follow the verses all the way down to verse 15, it tells you, you know, which course. And each one ends up where there's 24,000, so that what you end up with is that there is those that are serving in the palace, 12 times 24,000 equals 288,000 men there that are serving in the palace. So what it looks like, when you look at that, it looks like that Chronicles included this 288,000, which rounded off, you know, to the 100,000 anyhow, comes out to that 300,000, and they're not included in the Samuel count. So that might be the difference in Israel, in that count in Israel, in that. But there's something else, and it's been pointed out to me before, but I was pleased. Pete Boucher last week noticed, and it is interesting, every time that the numbers are mentioned, there's a difference the way it says. For instance, in Chronicles, in verse 5, 1 Chronicles 21:5, Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew the sword. And then it says, you know, the 470,000 men of Judah, it says, that drew the sword. But if you got your place saved in Samuel, 1 Samuel 24, in verse 9, Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. So there's a little bit different detail. When it calls this 800,000, it called them valiant men. So it could be that there's 800,000 valiant men, but 300,000 are just kind of a new recruits, maybe the 20-year-olds that aren't so valiant in war yet. So there's a total number of 1,100,000, but of that, 800,000 are valiant. So, you know, the Bible has answers. And by the way, when you see a problem like that, someone who's in unbelief, they say, oh, see, mistake in the Bible, and write it off. Without looking a little further and say, obviously, there is a difference there. And if there is a difference, faith would say, is there an explanation for the difference? Can I read the Bible and find an explanation? And we got possible explanations. Which one is the exact explanation? I don't know. And by the way, I don't like doing this, but you know, we're off 12,000 on this. And you know, the Bible's pretty exact. You're there. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Someone pointed this out. But this is a generation later, so I don't know if it's true in David's day. It says, it's Solomon, he's now reigning, so he reigned after David. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, which he placed in the chariot cities with the king of Jerusalem." So he had like an escort that Solomon did of 12,000 men that he could put in those chariots. Well, there's 12,000. And if that was around in David's day, then you could add this, the people who served in the courts, the 12,000 men, you come up with 300,000. And others have done that, but what's true of Solomon, I don't know, is necessarily is true of David. And then the valiant men deal is another answer. But my point in saying all that is, a critic of the Bible looks and says there's a mistake. And I know that God puts things in the Bible for us to catch and say, wait a minute, there's a difference here. And it makes you study further to find out why there is a difference. And people who don't want to believe, well, they got the excuse that they wanted not to believe. Just like Pharaoh told his magicians to throw down their rods and they became serpents, and a miracle took place. How did that happen? God allowed it so that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. So when you don't want to believe, God will give you a reason not to believe. But then God is always honored by those who seek him in faith. And when you seek him in faith, there are answers. And when you see a seeming contradiction and then you see a possible answer, well, even if I don't know which one of these is the exact answer, just the fact that there is answers tells you that it's not a contradiction. That, you know, so anyhow, so that covers the 300,000 that is different in Israel, but we didn't look last week. I said there's a verse that would tell you about the 30,000. Now, just like we found the 288,000 difference here in Chronicles, this number of 500,000, why is it higher than the Chronicles account? Well, we'll find the answer in Samuel. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now these are the men that fought with David. It says, again, David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David had his own force, and his own force is 30,000 men. Included in the count in Samuel, but maybe not and probably not included in the count of Chronicles, making the exact difference, 30,000 men. And so you see the different numbers and perhaps the reason why there's different numbers in these different accounts. Now, when we were looking at that last week, I said to you that that's like a glowing, when you read, compare 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, you're reading through there, the first verse says, whoa, wow, what a difference. Then you get down to the counting of the number and you say, hey, there's a different number here. And so that catches your attention. There's two other things that catch your attention before you conclude the chapter. Go back to chapter 24 of 2 Samuel. And if you got that, I think maybe I'll do this. So we read that God was angry in 2 Samuel chapter 24. It says in verse 10, and David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was in the morning, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I might do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in the land? So and then it says, Or will thou flee 3 months before thine enemy? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise, and see what answer I will return unto him that sent me. So 3 days... Spell pestilence for me. You guys are slow. Come on. If I heard you right, I meant it when I said that. So anyhow, you see the time difference is here. You go from 7 years, 3 months, 3 days. Pick one of those three. And then David's answer, let's pick that up before we go. It says, verse 14, And David said unto Gad, I'm in a strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel from morning till evening to the time appointed, so that until the third day. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it. When he did that, the Lord repented him of the evil and said unto the angel, destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And then David's going to plead before the Lord, and then David's going to offer a sacrifice here. Maybe we'll read that in Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. So you got the fact that what David did displeased the Lord in verse 7. And then you got David said unto God, I have great, verse 8 now. David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. Now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years. Famine. Or 3 months be destroyed before thy foes. And then it says, while the sword of thine enemy overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And that's 3 days that ends up being the pestilence. Interesting, first of all, David recognizes the famine, all of this is going to come from God. He's going to allow it to happen. But there is the natural disasters that's going to come. There is the enemy that David would have to flee from. But he would rather just face God himself, a direct judgment of God, because rather than trusting nature or trusting especially man, he'll trust God and count on God being merciful. And at a certain point, God does tell the angel to stop just before the destruction of Jerusalem takes place. So David knew to trust and put his hands in the hand of God, who's a merciful God. Verse 13, it says, And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. And so the Lord sent pestilence. So it takes place there. Now again, you look at that and you say, uh-oh, there's a difference here. 7 years famine or 3 years famine, which is it? And, you know, again, you can look at it and say, well, there's another discrepancy that, you know, and by the way, most commentators do that. In fact, I brought this to you because this is interesting, that a lot of times, well, what they'll actually say is that the historical books got it wrong, because if you look at that, choose one of the three, 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 three. This is more consistent, and so they're more prone to believe this is really what was said, and that the writer of Samuel actually made a mistake in putting down seven. But they have to call it a mistake because the Hebrew word in Samuel is seven. So interestingly, here's an international version, and what verse was that? Verse 13. Here's what it says in 2 Samuel 24. So Gad went to David and said unto him, shall there come upon thee 3 years of famine in the land, or 3 months fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you, or 3 days plague in your land? It says in Samuel, three. There's a little footnote, tells you that the Hebrew word is seven. I mean, they deliberately read the Hebrew and says it's seven, but that's a mistake, so we're going to translate it three. And rather than you search and say, could that possibly mean exactly what it says? Or is there a mistake? Well, they said, well, absolutely there's a mistake, because they never trusted the Bible in the first place. That's the kind of people that are making that translation. They tell you the Hebrew word is seven, so it must be seven. So what would be the explanation for that? Well, go back to 2 Samuel. And we've been preparing you for this for some time. It says in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 24, and I pointed out to you, it says, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. What do you mean again? Well, we've already looked at, go back to chapter 21. And remember, we already said that David's heart being lifted up in pride was contrary to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and 23. The attitude he had in 22 and 23 got set aside in chapter 24, and his pride was lifted up and judgment came. But in chapter 21, there's something else here. Chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered and explained what the problem was and how they had to resolve it. So in chapter 21, there's these 3 years of famine. And then what we pointed out when we were looking at chapter 21 is this interesting statement over here. They gave up Saul's sons and made amends with the Gibeonites. And then in verse 9 it says, and he delivered them into the hand of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and there fell all seven together, and they were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. So when we studied that, I reminded you that here they had 3 years of famine. Then now they're into that fourth year. And barley harvest is the very first harvest. Interestingly, barley harvest is the time Israel left at Passover, left Egypt. And so that's the first harvest. It's like 50 days or so. I'm not sure how to number the days of Pentecost. But Pentecost is the feast of first fruits of the wheat harvest. So this takes place at, there's three harvest times for the nation of Israel. There's the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and then the fruit harvest in October, the Day of Atonement time. So this is telling you that the very first of the harvest, after 3 years of famine, is just ready to come in, and they're waiting for that harvest to come. So that if you've gone through 3 years of famine, you're still in famine until that fourth year is cleared up, right? Until the harvest comes in. when you read over there in 2 Samuel 24, and it says, again, the anger of the Lord was kindled, the possibility is this is taking place during that fourth year. And then the angel comes to David and offers him, shall there be 7 years of famine? Which means what? 3 more years of famine. If they extend, they're in the fourth year, and if 3 more years come, how many years of famine would there be? They would have to suffer 7 years of famine. So the question is, you know, the question is, 3 years of famine, yeah, so shall there be 7? Your choice, David. And to kind of show you something that's interesting about that, come over to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I stopped reading at verse 13. I'm going to start in verse 14, a couple other details here. It says in verse 14, it says, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Now, he's called Arunah, at least the way I pronounce it there, in Kings, but it's the same person. He's called Ornan in this passage, so it's just a difference in names, but it's the same person. And it says, so he's at that, notice where he's at, the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. There's more, even more detail here. It says, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. And David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. So remember, our whole point in studying this is to see that there's a possibility of the destruction of Jerusalem. We've been watching that city and how important it is to God. But it says in verse 17, and David said unto God, David said unto God, it is not that I command thee the people to be numbered, it is that sinned and done the evil indeed, but for the sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be upon me and my father's house, but upon thy people that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say unto David that he should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up by the saying of Gad and spake unto the man spake in the name of the Lord, that Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Now, I read that for another reason, but it was barley harvest, right? Now it's wheat harvest time, and he's threshing wheat, and so it looks like it could be in that fourth year. Now you're right, you know, you're now right around Pentecost, that's June. So you're right in the middle of that fourth year, matching again. If we add 3 more years, then you're going to actually suffer the famine for 7 years before it's all over with, because you got to go another 3 years of famine, and then comes more harvest after that. So that seems to be the explanation of the 7 and the 3. But there's another real important point here that I have to make quickly now. The 3 years are the 3 days of pestilence. The Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll see later that this is not just the conjecture of my mind. 3 hours the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, and as we're going to study next hour, 3 days and 3 nights he spent in the heart of the earth. And because of what he did, the plague is stayed from Israel. The threshing floor, I should have read more, I just ran out of time. The threshing floor, you're going to see there's oxen and there's wood involved, because what they did is they find a big plain, flat land, they take the wheat, throw it all over the land, they tie wood to the back of an oxen, put weight on the wood, and put even iron spikes underneath the wood, and would drag it across the wheat until the kernels of wheat would fall. Then they would actually, what's that, when they whittle, or what do they whittle? Anyhow, they take a fork and throw it up in the air and blow the chaff away so that the wheat then could be gathered up, and then they would make bread out of it. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, is he not? But before they could experience the fruits of Pentecost, the bread of life given unto them, Jesus Christ had to suffer as if on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He had to suffer at the hands of Gentiles, be threshed so that the wheat could be made so that men could have life. And that picture is in all of this. And with that comes another illustration then. There's not only the 3 hours the Lord suffered and the 3 days and 3 nights he was in the heart of the earth so that man could then have resurrection unto life. But before Israel gets that, they're going to face 3 years of 7 years of tribulation. And there's another parallel I'll have to try to show you at the beginning of next class. There's one other illustration that would have fell right together with this. There's another problem between Chronicles and Samuel. How much did David pay for the threshing floor? Because you're going to read in Samuel, there's 50 shekels of silver, and I think it's in Chronicles that you're going to read 600 weight of gold. And you got two different weights. But the answer is leading to the very point of the passage. Anyhow, I just got to teach you with that and let it go from there. But come back next week, we'll deal with that one and then show you the conclusion of the chapter. So let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, I pray that we can sit back and look at it more clearly, even as we conclude next week, and see the picture that you would have us to see in these events. And we do thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that cross in payment for our sins, that indeed through his resurrection, that he might be the bread of life, and we too could be joined in that life and have life eternal through him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.